Folks, good evening. It's really good to have you here. Really good to be with you guys tonight to celebrate with you as you make your promises to one another, to your leaders, and to our Heavenly Father as well, who knows us, who's made us, who loves us, who's died to save us and give us hope and give us life and give us purpose. That's the one we've come to worship tonight. That's the one we've read about and Peter has read to us about from Mark chapter 4. And it's the one we're going to encounter in this story of peace be still from Mark's gospel. But I want you to think tonight as we begin this talk, I want you to go back maybe to the summer or to a time in your life and answer this question to yourself. When was the last time you were on a boat? Maybe you were in a rowing boat. Maybe you were in a canoe. Maybe it was a fishing boat, a sailing boat if you're a keen sailor. Maybe you were on a cruise ship over the summer. Maybe you got the ferry over to Scotland. You were going on your holidays. But tonight I want to tell you about a really, really memorable journey that I had once on a boat. But in order for me to do that, I need to introduce you to my dad. Now, my dad is known around the world affectionately as Wee Joe. He has three sons over 6 foot, but he himself is only 5'7". So he's really, really small, but he loves an awful lot of things. He loves his family, he loves Jesus, and he loves Smarties. As you can see from the picture, a couple of Christmases ago, we made him a massive cylinder of Smarties and just filled it up for him, and it kept him going until Easter when we did it again. But Wee Joe is petrified, and when I say petrified, I mean we would nearly need to give him tablets to knock him out to fly. Growing up, we always dreamed about maybe where we could go on our summer holidays, the places we could visit, the things we could see, but there was one problem. Every time we started to have those conversations, Wee Joe would knock it on the head by saying, "I'm not flying. If you want to go on holiday, we're going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. We're going to drive in the car, we're going to get the boat, and then from there we're going to drive no matter how long it takes us." And so this is what we decided we were going to do. I was about 10 years old, so it was the late 1990s, and P&O had just introduced this brand new ferry called the Jetliner, okay? And the thing was, most boats that would take you from Northern Ireland to Scotland took about 2.5 hours, but P&O had done something revolutionary. They had decided they would shorten the crossing from 2.5 hours to 1 hour. My dad thought this was great. He thought this was a brilliant way to start the summer holidays. I mean, my grandparents lived right down in the southwest of England, so we would get on the boat to Scotland, and then we would drive for 11 hours, 650 miles, in order to see them, rather than taking a flight from Belfast to Bristol, which was 45 minutes, and then driving for 2 hours. I mean, he decided it was a much better idea to take the boat and then drive that distance, but his reasoning for it was, we'll save an hour because the boat is faster. Now, only to him did this seem like a good idea. To the rest of us, we thought, this is no way to start our holiday, but we went along with it anyway. So the car was packed. We went along to the boat station, whatever it's called, about 7 o'clock in the morning. There was excitement. We were ready to go, but there was also a little bit of fear because the press had been on this boat and they had beautifully nicknamed it the Vomit Comet, which you can really read into if you want. So we got on this boat, and as it began to pull out of the harbor, things were good. The journey seemed good. It was quite steady. Things were quite slow. Maybe we began to wonder, how is this boat going to do this in an hour? But then all of a sudden, as we began to pull out of the harbor, the boat started to go a little bit faster. And with the increase in speed, it suddenly started becoming a little bit more rocky. And I wasn't for that. And as it got rockier and rockier, you could see some of the boat attendants begin to walk out, and they were carrying bags with them that they were passing around to the different passengers, and on some occasions they were even handing out buckets as well to the people. And as they started to do this, my little brother thought he was getting pick and mix. He was really, really disappointed whenever he found out what those bags were actually for. But as it started to get faster and faster, I looked over at my mum, and all the color had drained out of her facial features. My little brother, disappointed that he wasn't getting pick and mix, but also not a great traveler, was rocking back and forth, just longing for the journey to end. My dad had a smile on his face, and he asked me, did I want to go and take a walk with him? I wanted to stay firmly rooted. I didn't want to move. And as the boat got further and further, as it began to bounce on the waves, and you look out the window and you see the spray going up past you, I couldn't hold it any longer. I had tried for 40 minutes to hold it in, but eventually I had to succumb, and my face was buried in one of those bags. I was sick as a dog, and I never, ever wanted to get on the Vomit Comet again. And whenever, finally, we got into the harbor in Scotland. I was so relieved whenever we heard the bang and the thud of the anchor going into the seabed. I tell you, I have never worshipped like it since. I was so thankful. I prayed, Lord, please strike this boat down as well, that I don't have to get on this at the end of the holiday to come home again. But you know, sometimes in life there are storms and there are waves that come our way. There are things that maybe leave us feeling really sick or really helpless or really powerless or really frightened and often without hope. And a couple of weeks ago, maybe you were reminded of all these storms and everything that came your way, or these big waves as you saw the news and you saw Storm Ophelia. And you got a couple of days off school, which is really wonderful for you. And our news feeds were just struck with Barry Best telling us from Galway, with the waves crashing over him, to stay indoors, don't go outside, don't do anything stupid, as he was being battered by an 80-mile-an-hour gust himself. But you know, the storms come and the waves come as well. And so often it can feel in our lives that we're going through so many waves, whether we're really young or whether we're really old, whether we haven't had any of those waves. Sometimes they'll come, and the waves can vary from person to person. For some of us, maybe the waves and the storms that we're enduring or we're battling against could be bullying. It could be a change within our family situation. It could be someone that we know, someone that we love, has gotten sick. Maybe we have lost someone that we're really close to. Maybe one of the waves that we're facing as we get a little bit older is we're struggling to know how we're going to pay the next bill. And so often these waves can come and they can fill us full of fear. They can leave us feeling helpless. They can leave us feeling hopeless. They can leave us wondering, who can we turn to? What can we turn to? I just don't know what's going on anymore. I don't know if there's any end in sight to this storm that I'm currently facing. But I want to say that tonight, as Peter has read to us from God's word, that in God's word we find the answer. In God's word we find that there is hope and there is a help. We read these words in Hebrews 6:19, that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul. We have this hope as an anchor in the midst of storms, in the midst of waves. And who is this hope? What is this hope? Well, the Bible tells us that our hope and that our help is Jesus, God's pure, God's perfect Son, Jesus, the one who has always been there with his Father, the one who knows us, the one who has made us, the one who loves us, the one who came to this earth to show us how to live, the one who died for us, the one who has set us free into life whenever we accept his grace and his mercy and what he has done for us. Jesus is our help. Jesus is our hope. He is our anchor. And there was a group of people in the Bible who began to discover what it was when Jesus desired them, when Jesus called them by name. And we encounter them in the story that we read tonight in Mark chapter 4. These people were the disciples. They were ordinary young guys. They were busy doing the things that they did, hanging out with the people that they hung out with. And yet Jesus identified them and he called them by name and he invited them into an incredible journey to come and to follow him. And these disciples had a front row seat to some of the greatest teaching that has ever been spoken, to some of the most amazing miracles that have ever been performed, to see things that just completely blew their mind and turned their world upside down. They had the opportunity to journey with Jesus, to walk with him, to hear from him, to learn from him, to seek to walk and do as he had done in the world around them. And these men in this story in Mark chapter 4 that we hear of, they have been gathered around Jesus. Jesus has begun his ministry. He's doing some incredible things. He is saying some things that are really infuriating a lot of people around him, but also really exciting so many others. But in this story, at the end of what he has just done, Jesus desires that he and his disciples would get away. He says to me, come, let's get into the boats. Let's go over to the other side. He's inviting these men to come away with him, to rest, to be refreshed, to be built up, to have maybe their hope renewed, to have their energy restored for what else will lie ahead. And so they get into the boat. And it's a journey like any other. I mean, there's experienced fishermen in this boat. They know this Sea of Galilee. They know what it's like. They know almost every acre, every area of the water. They know when the storms will come and they know what to do. They're experienced. They have each other's back. And so there's a lot of boats out on the water, and the disciples are in the boat, and Jesus, it says, is really tired from everything that has gone on. And so he goes to the back of the boat, and he puts his head down, and he rests. He goes to sleep. And then the disciples suddenly begin to find themselves in the midst of a storm. So some of you guys in the first couple of rows have waves under your feet in the pews. I want you to lift those. And I want you to imagine yourself tonight that you're in that boat, that you're one of the disciples, and the water begins to bob up and down a little bit, but things are okay. It's quite gentle. There's laughter. There's conversation. But then the storm begins to get a little bit rougher, and the waves begin to go, and you can hear it howling, and the rain maybe begins to splash down, and it's whipping across their faces. The waves and the wind start to increase. And as it does that, the disciples suddenly are getting a little bit frantic in this boat. Suddenly, all their experience, all the hours that they've spent in the water are beginning to make them look like amateurs. This storm is so powerful. And so frantically, they're maybe lifting buckets and they're trying to scoop the water out as fast as they can. But the quicker that they do that, it seems that the boat is filling up with water again and again. And it feels like these waves and these storms are overcoming them. And in their frantic nature, at the end of their tether, feeling that their lives are about to be extinguished from the face of the earth, these men do the only thing that they can think to do. They go and they wake Jesus and they tell him, "We are going to die. Don't you care?" And Jesus looks at them, wakes up from his stupor, and stands up and goes to the edge of the boat. And with just a faint word, as the Creator of the world looks into the midst of the storm and says, "Peace, be still." And in an instant, we're told, the wind ceases. Imagine being in the center of a storm with the wind going around you, knocking you off your feet, making you lean forward into almost taking your balance away, and it goes to immediate calm. To look at the water that had been full of waves that were breaking over the boat, and then suddenly to see that there's not even a ripple. The Sea of Galilee is like glass. And then Jesus challenges them, "Why is your faith so little?" And you know, sometimes in the midst of our storms and in the midst of our waves, we can be like the disciples. We can forget the God that is on our side. We can forget that Jesus is with us. We can forget that he has promised to walk with us and to keep us and to protect us and to place his angel armies around us. We can forget that in the midst of our waves, in the midst of our storms, in the midst of things that have happened or are happening or will happen within our lives, that there is help and that there is hope. And so tonight, I want to leave you with just a couple of things from this passage that we can hold on to, things that we can cling to, truth that we can live out with the rest of our lives and know that no matter the wave, no matter the storm, that Jesus is in your boat. Jesus is in your boat. The disciples were caught in a literal storm. They couldn't see Jesus. They couldn't hear him. They couldn't see him, maybe, but they knew that he was in their boat. And sometimes maybe we can feel utterly abandoned in our waves and in our storm. We can wonder, "God, where are you in the midst of this?" But Jesus promised his disciples whenever he gave them their commission to go into all the world that he would be with them every day of their lives and in everything that they would face. And God, the Bible tells us, is faithful. He keeps all his promises. He's not going to tell a lie. He's not going to say something and then change his mind and not do it. He's not going to say, "I will be with you if you will only do." He says, "I am with you always." He told Joshua before he embarked on a great journey, "It is the Lord who goes before you." God goes before you tonight. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Tonight, in the midst of whatever waves you're going through or whatever waves will come, we can put our hope in this anchor that is Jesus. We can put our hope and this anchor that cannot be shaken, that cannot be moved, this anchor who will never leave us, who will never abandon us, who tells us that no matter what this storm, whatever this wave will throw at us, we have no reason to be afraid because we are in him and he is with us. Tonight, Jesus is with you. He is in your boat. And he tells us that there is help. There's always help in the boat. The disciples knew that Jesus was the only one who could save them. That Jesus was the only one who even had any sort of authority or any sort of chance to calm the storm and to spare their lives. And so they run to him and they beg of him, "Help us, please." And Jesus stands and he helps and he utters those words, "Peace, be still." And he tells us as well that in the midst of life's trials and the things that go on, he invites each of us to come to him. He invites those of us who are weary, those of us who feel weighed down, those of us who feel heavy or burdened or feel like we're being overcome by wave after wave or by storm after storm, that we can come to him, that we can find a Savior who longs to walk with us, a Savior who longs to journey with us, a Savior who will not leave us, who will not abandon us. And he tells us as well, and he called the church to be a help to one another too. In the Bible, we are called to look around the room, to look around at one another, and to see that we are one another's helpers, that we help to bear one another's burdens, that we journey through life's tough times, that we walk and we pray, and we fight for one another in prayer, and we remind one another that in the midst of our ways, when it can be really easy to forget our hope and our help, that God is with you, that he is there. He will not abandon you, but he will always welcome you. He will stand with you. He will carry you. And the last thing that we notice in this passage is that Jesus is greater. Jesus is stronger, and Jesus is higher. Jesus is the creator of the world. He was the creator of the Sea of Galilee, and so only he could speak calm into that storm. Only he could stand with such a voice of authority and say, "Peace, be still." Only he could look at that storm and speak hope and speak life into something that looked for all intents and purposes that it was only going to bring death. And the Bible tells us that Jesus has been given the name that is above all names. And that is such an encouragement to us, something that we can hold on to, something that we can cling to in the midst of the waves, in the midst of the storms, that we have this Savior who has the name above all names. That we have the Savior who has the name above our anxieties and our stresses. That we have the Savior who has the name above death. That we have the Savior whose name is greater than anything that we will ever encounter, anything that we will ever face. We have this Savior who knows what it is to experience difficulty, who knew what it was to have a dark night of the soul, to face life's storms the night before he went to the cross, to pray, "Father, help me in the midst of this storm. Deliver me from this. Please take this storm, take this cup away from me." We have a Savior who knows what it is to be in that situation, but to speak victory and to know victory into that, to be able to stand on the other side and tell us that he is that name, that rock, that anchor that we can cling to, that we can put our hope in. That Jesus tonight is in your boat, that he is with you, that he is for you, that nothing that you go through, nothing that you face, nothing that will ever be done to you or against you is enough to separate you from his great love, his all-powerful love. That he longs to help and to walk and to journey with you all the days of your life, promising never to leave you, never to abandon you, but to be there, that you might come calling and come seeking and find him coming to fill you and journey with you and walk with you. that you can put your hope tonight in the name that is above all names, and know that in the midst of life's storms and life's waves, that there is Jesus, the one who has perfected our faith, the one who reigns victorious, the one who is our hope, an anchor for the soul, in whom we can stand firm and secure tonight, no matter what else goes on. And that is something that we can hold on to all the days of our life. And so tonight, I'm going to invite the guys who are leading us in worship to come back up. We're going to simply pray. And you'll see that in the end of every pew, and apologies to you folks upstairs who didn't quite get up there, that there is simply a little piece of paper that has that verse from Hebrews 6:19 on it, and a little prayer on the back. But we know that each of us is maybe carrying waves or seeking to travel through many different things, and sometimes we just try and do that ourselves. But Jesus calls us to himself. And so what I want you to do just before we come to worship is to ask everyone simply, just where you are, where you're sitting, to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine, as you have your eyes closed, that you are sitting in a boat. And you're simply there, whether it's a rowing boat, a fishing boat, a sailing boat, a cruise ship, whatever it might be, you're there and you're sitting in that boat. And as a boat, you're just kind of bobbing along in the water. And maybe at the minute you're going through a real wave or a real storm that is just hitting you from every angle. Or maybe you have a fear or a worry about something that can feel like it's just all-consuming and all-encompassing. And so what I want you to do is to take a finger, and I want you to write whatever that wave might be in the air simply in front of you. And as you have that wave, I want you to know that as you sit in that boat, that Jesus is in there with you. That he longs to help, and that he longs to remind you that he is your hope, that he is the name above every name. And so, as you see that wave that you've written, I want you now to imagine that the name of Jesus, that word Jesus, is just beginning to grow, and it's beginning to come to the forefront, and it's beginning to extend and get bigger and overcome and block out that wave that you have written. That Jesus, the name above every name, is bigger and is stronger. That name Jesus becomes our identity, our hope, our anchor. And I want you to know that as you see that name Jesus, that wave that you're going through is not the end of your story. It doesn't have to be the end of your story. The disciples who journeyed with Jesus ran and fled and then watched him hang on a cross, and they thought it was the end of their story. But the cross was not the end of Jesus' story, because 3 days later, he rose again. And so that wave that you find yourself in does not have to be the end of your story. Now, the situation or the wave may not change. That wave may continue to remain. But tonight, as you sit in that boat, as you bob along, and as sometimes you get hit by waves and by storms, Jesus is there with you. And he longs for you to know that. He longs for you to know that he will always walk with you, that you need not fear or be discouraged. And so, Jesus, we thank you that you love us, that you do not run away from our difficulties, that you will not leave us or abandon us, that you will not help us if we will only do certain things, but that you long to walk with us. And so we pray that tonight, Jesus, you would help us to know that you're there, that you would help us to come before you and to lay down our pride, to lay down everything else and simply ask for your help. Ask to know your presence with us. Jesus, would you help us to remain firmly rooted in you? Would you be our anchor? would you set our feet upon you, that we would know that no matter what else goes on, that in you we are firm and secure, in you we are held and loved and known. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.